UKIP is about far more than that. And interestingly, our manifesto, which has been lauded and praised by, you know, international institutes and bodies who've said we are the one party with a real plan for the future of Britain, and I'm talking about housing and defence and
yes,
a whole range of issues.
But you're not going to form the government.
And a whole range of issues. So we're about far more than just the European question. We started as a protest movement against Britain's membership of the European Union. We have moved on to that, to now putting a plan for after we've had the referendum. Now, the question is, how do we get the referendum?
Vote Tory.
Mr Cameron spent the whole of 2011 and 2012, despite a previous promise to give us a referendum, saying it wasn't in the national interest
that
it would be one.
Yeah, all that has changed. No point going back over there.
And now he says he's going to have a referendum. OK, there's only one way that he can be kept to that promise, and certainly only one way we will get a full, free and fair referendum conducted on the right lines, because that is absolutely crucial, and that is if there are enough UKIP MPs in the House of Commons to hold his feet to the fire.
Yes, but if he does not get into power, you will not have a referendum. It is as simple as that.
Mr Miliband has completely turned his back on the idea of giving the British people a say, and I have a feeling, after last night's debates, that Mr Miliband now cannot be Prime Minister unless he's...
Because of what he said about not doing a deal with the SNP of any sort.
It would be the greatest lie of modern British politics for him now to try and form a coalition with the SNP.
As indeed it would be the greatest lie of British politics for the Prime Minister, for Minister Cameron, to renege on the referendum.
Given what he said last night, that's true. So I think the game's changed a bit last night.
Right.
And I think UKIP's role in this may have changed after last night. What has happened over the last 3 weeks is the percentage of 2010 Labour voters who say they're going to vote UKIP has nearly trebled. There has been a shift in the polls.
More Tory voters who say they'll vote UKIP.
The percentage of the UKIP vote that are former Tories are a minority, and most of them came to us in 2010, 11 and 12, and are not going to go back. But our growth area is with Labour voters, and I think if it's seen that Mr Miliband simply cannot become Prime Minister without committing that lie, then suddenly those seats in the Midlands and the North in which we are the challengers are seats that we can now win. We will need some tactical voting from the Conservatives to do it.
Well, that's the point.
And I understand that. I completely understand that.
And you've said that. You've been absolutely clear about it. So let me, if I may, give you a couple of examples of seats where tactical voting would, from your point of view, be effective. Let's take Pudsey in West Yorkshire. At the moment, they're saying Conservatives 40%, Labour 40%, UKIP 8%. There are others. Rossendale and Darwin 42%, 42%. Again, UKIP 8%. South Ribble 39%, 39%. In this case, UKIP 12%. Now, if you said to your voters in those areas, give your vote to the Tories, you would be saying to the nation, we've now increased the chances of getting that European referendum.
I don't think if I told UKIP voters what to do, they would listen, is the first point to make.
That's a bit of a cop-out.
Lord Ashcroft...
You're the leader of the party.
Lord Ashcroft...
You have a degree of influence, one imagines.
Lord Ashcroft did some big polling on this. What if UKIP were to say to their voters, vote tactically, would it make any difference? And the answer is no. Actually, what you see is that half of UKIP voters, if you ask them to vote for somebody else, wouldn't vote at all. And the rest would split 50-50 between Labour and the Conservatives. So that wouldn't actually make any difference.
In those three seats, it really wouldn't make a difference.
Do you know,
there is the possibility, at least the possibility, that if those UKIP voters voted Tory at your suggestion, that's all. I mean, you can hardly order them. You're quite right. Of course you can't.
No.
You can suggest it and they might well listen to you. How could it not make a difference?
Well, I think my priority is in Rotherham and Hayward and Middleton and Grimsby and Dudley North.
Yeah, but I asked you about those specifically.
I can't tell my voters what to do. They will make their own minds up, but there will be all sorts.
But if another politician said that, you'd say, oh, he's copping out. I mean,
no, I'm not copping out. I'm not copping out.
All right, let's assume
that
you can't agree that you cannot
them.
Tell them. But do you think it might make sense if they were to do that?
I think, based on the Ashcroft polling, it wouldn't make sense. And there's one thing you've all forgotten. When Mark Reckless won Rochester, the last big electoral test for UKIP, only a third of the UKIP vote came from the Conservatives. Actually, two-thirds of it came from Labour, or significantly from non-voters. So I don't think it would make any difference at all.
It's interesting that, because even people like Michael Gove, and goodness knows he's a senior and passionate Tory, he reckons that a bit of tactical voting makes a great deal of sense. He has said that maybe in Labour, some Tories, maybe in Scotland, some Tories should vote Labour. to keep SNP out.
Yes, but he hasn't said that in the north of England, has he? I mean, if Michael Gove...
Well, it's not relevant in the north of England.
Oh, if Michael Gove says to Conservative voters in Hayward and Middleton, we clearly haven't got a chance to vote UKIP, then that would be very interesting and would
so
be a change...
So why don't you do the same, then?
And would be a change
be in reverse.
Of the political position. I think that...
Why don't you do deals with these people?
Well, because... Mr. Cameron won't even talk to me. I'm a member of the lower orders, remember?
Well, yeah, but you did also say that if you met somebody in a pub or in the street from the Tories, you might have a little chat with them. Have you had any of those chats with them?
No conversations at all.
None at all.
No. My focus, I mean, we've got three things to do in this election. Number one is to get UKIP over the line in a good number of seats. Number two is to come third in the overall popular share of the vote, which I'm confident we'll do. And number three is for us to come second in as many seats as we can, particularly in the Midlands and the North.
All right, realistically, how many seats might you get, do you think?
I just don't know. I've seen
it's not
a shift.
Be double figures, is it?
Oh, it may well be.
For example,
you know, I popped into the market town of Aylesbury yesterday, where suddenly we're doing very well. There are areas where UKIP has weakened over the course of the last few weeks. And that may be some UKIP voters
have,
as you said earlier, tactically made some decisions.
Let's assume, for the purpose of this conversation, you get a dozen seats. What will you do with them?
Well, that depends on the numbers, doesn't it? I mean,
well, I'm saying,
if we are able...
a dozen, the Tories are in desperate need of a bit of help, Labour's in desperate need of a bit of help, what will you do with
them? I won't help Labour. I can't help Labour.
So that's that.
There's no circumstances, given that Miliband has turned his back on a referendum.
Right,
so
that's out.
So that's out.
Clear. Lib Dems and the Tories say to the Lib Dems, come and join us. There's some argy-bargy about that. Do you say we'll join you as well? My three-party coalition? Is that a possibility?
I don't want UKIP to go into coalition. I don't want to...
Is that a no, or is that something you'd actually prefer not to part?
No, let me be clear. I do not want a ministerial car, but I do want to drive the agenda. And if we have... arithmetically, a position where we can have influence on the basis of confidence and supply, we would do that provided we could get a full, free and fair referendum for this country.
But not a coalition, because it's not inconceivable, it's unlikely, of course, but it's not inconceivable that Mr. Cameron, that the Liberal Democrats don't do desperately well. Mr. Cameron will need more, perhaps, than their support. It's not inconceivable that you... join a coalition.
Well, in those circumstances, if Mr. Clegg wants to remain Deputy Prime Minister, that's fine, but he'll have to concede a referendum on the EU
right.
to the British
so
people.
So you could see UKIP as part of a three-party coalition with David Cameron as Prime Minister and Mr. Clegg
see the Liberal Democrats and the Conservatives in coalition with UKIP giving confidence and supply. UKIP will not be joining the coalition.
That is an absolute...
100%
ruled out. So confidence, supply, and at what point... what sort of red lines, apart from the referendum, which obviously is a given, apart from that, what sort of red lines would you draw?
Well, I think it's presumptuous to say too much, other than I do think we need to have a government that takes budget deficit reduction seriously and actually sticks to its projections. And I do also think that there would be a role for UKIP MPs in Westminster to campaign on defence. I think defence has been the neglected part of this general election, and UKIP MPs will campaign for a minimum level of spending of 2% on defence and for far better aftercare for our veterans who've been so badly ignored.
Quick thought about the final thought about the tone of the campaign, because you were pretty critical at one stage about the way you personally were being treated and UKIP was being treated. You've actually had a pretty fair crack of the whip, haven't you?
Well, not from the BBC.
Come on.
Well, look.
We've got strict rules about how much time everybody gets.
What about Ofcom? What about Ofcom? We have a regulator called Ofcom who says there are four major parties in British politics. And last night, whilst it was delightful to have an opportunity to talk to that audience, it happened really rather late at night. And I think that the BBC have not abided by Ofcom because, of course, you're not legally bound. And there is a problem in modern broadcasting. I'm afraid the BBC in its current form is an anachronism.
Have you done your job now? Time up for you at the end of all this? Assuming you do reasonably well, or assuming you do desperately badly. Is that it? Job done?
No. That's the whole point about UKIP. UKIP is now a positive party with a plan for Britain, and I want to lead a good group of UKIP MPs in Westminster. But the exciting thing is what happens between now and 2020. We can become a serious force in British politics. And I tell you something, we'll do it at the expense of the Labour Party.